Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by Redemption Elder and Director of the Mill Open Sanctuary, Forrest Kemmer.
Remember my chains. From my end, preparing for this sermon was a little bit tricky because somehow I managed to get the teaching gig right on the same week that my dad actually is moving out of the church that he has worked at for 28 years and is headed south to be a pastor and to work at a school down in Florida. So it's an interesting transition for me. And it had my mind kind of churning on this idea of what is church leadership? What is leadership? What is it to be a leader? And it's a little painful. It's painful thinking about my dad not being there anymore. But the calling that my dad received is something that just changed my life inside and out. I got to see church in the good and the bad, like all throughout childhood. So it's really, in some sense, warped the way that I see church, but also redeemed a lot of the way that I see church and the people that are there that I share that with. So the focus of this sermon today is on the Apostle Paul. It's also helpful because the Apostle Paul, as author of the letter, is a really nice place to end. And his final words, "Remember my chains," is something that I think really is, really sums up what Paul's view of the ministry was, but maybe not in the way that you might think. So starting us off, a little bit of art history here, art quiz, I guess. Who painted this picture? Who is the artist? Any art scholar? This artist was known for painting a lot of religious artwork. He loved painting pictures of the Apostle Paul and Jesus.
It's not Rembrandt.
It is Rembrandt! Oh! So good. All right, so there's a couple things going on that I want to highlight in this painting that are just really fun. The first is the sword that's sitting there in the corner by him. Obviously, like, that is a huge sword, and the idea here is that Paul lived with a military background. He lived in just kind of awash in a history of violence, and at the same time he had a tremendous respect for the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You'll also notice that the way that the room is lit, the lighting in here, you can see the lighting on the wall behind him and then also on the pages right in front of him as he's penning them. The thing about biblical writers, it's important to remember, is that they were not thinking about us right now. They were receiving inspiration from God who was thinking about us right now. It's a subtle difference. It's very subtle, but it matters. Because in the heart of who Paul was, he was a vessel for the voice of God. That was what Paul was thinking about. That's what he was concerned about. And Paul, for all the crap that we give him today, particularly us dirty liberals, He had the priorities straight. And the priorities matter, sometimes even more than the systematic theology matters. And Paul's priority was Christ, over and over and over again. So if we do a quick look, glance back at the book of Colossians that we've been working on, we remember that the book of Colossians is an epistle. Epistle means letter. It's just a fancy literary term for the word letter. So Colossians is a letter. That means it has an occasion. There's a reason that it was written to the people that it was written to. You don't just, like, write letters. Like, "Dear Mom, hi, see you later, send." Like, you don't do that. Like, there's a reason that you write. There's a reason that you text. Now, obviously, that's a huge leap saying this is some kind of, like, text message. But It had a reason for being written in the context in which it was written. And Paul had an intention behind that. And that intention was the supremacy of Christ in a lot of different areas. And I think that having listened to the sermons in this series and kind of looking over them, like I can like pick that out of each of them. Is like, well, there's Jesus in this, and here's Jesus in that, and here's Jesus in that. And it really is the point of the book, because the book was refuting the idea that Christ wasn't enough in several different areas. And in that, it is bound by its cultural and historic context, in that that was a problem that those people at that time were having. And truth be told, it's kind of a problem we're having. So there's a little bit of like, yeah, we have this problem too. And so Colossians really does fit with our world and what's going on in it. So having said that, we want to answer the question tonight, why are Paul's final words on this letter, "Remember my chains"? So now that I give you some art, I'm going to give you pop culture. Hopefully this will be easy. Who is this fine gentleman here? Who is he? Dwight K. Schrute. And what television show does Dwight Schrute come from? The Office. The Office, right. So Dwight has a reputation. Dwight is known for being... If you worked with Dwight, what would you call him?
Intense.
Intense? What else would you call Dwight?
Rigid.
Unmoving.
Assistant
to the regional manager. Right. Would you like working with Dwight? Would you enjoy that? I'm seeing some like very casual head shakes. No, right. Because Dwight is intense. He's intense to be around. You might even find yourself annoyed from time to time with Dwight. Frustrated by Dwight. There's an accusation floating around in the Bible and in the early church that Paul was a little annoying. And we have two exhibits to examine on this subject. Exhibit A is Acts 16, 20 through 21. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." So Paul shows up in these cities, and he loves to stir the pot. He loves to cause trouble. See, the Jews have their customs, and the Gentiles have their customs, and they don't really like mix them up too much. It's like, you know, people know where they go, and there's a system, and there's a boat, and don't rock the boat. But guess what Paul does? Hey, he rocks the boat, right? So Paul, he's a boat rocker. And people don't like that. They find it frustrating. They might even find him annoying. Exhibit B. "We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He's the ringleader of the Nazarene." I'm missing a word there. Oh, well. "He is the ringleader of the Nazarene and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." And this was to a Roman authority. And shortly after, he was beaten and put into jail. What's funny just is that over and over again, this is Paul's MO. He causes trouble and gets put away. So if I had to judge this, and, you know, since I have the mic, I'm going to... I'm going to say that this is the conclusion. Paul was annoying. He was horribly annoying. He rocked every boat that he came across. Like, it's just, the man's a mess. Over and over and over again, he causes trouble. And guess what happens to troublemakers? They end up in jail. Right. So why is it exactly that Paul would be willing to cause all of this trouble over and over and over again and challenge the social norms of not one, but two social groups that were influential in his world? Let's go back to the beginning of the book of Colossians to find out why. This is Colossians 1, 24 through 25. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the world, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The line that I want you to pay attention to, if you can go back to that, the line that I want you to pay attention to is this one right here, okay? To them chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, and the mystery is Christ in you. Paul wasn't just rocking the boat because he was a religious fanatic for Jesus. That's actually not what's happening. He was telling people that they had Jesus inside them. That's what Paul is doing here, and that's what this book is about. It's about the supremacy of Jesus, but not just the supremacy of Jesus like, oh, he's over there, that guy, supreme. No. It's you have Jesus inside you. And when you are a Christian, that's going to come out in all sorts of amazing ways that you can't help but let it all out. Now, to be fair, we're terribly screwed up people. Like, we really are. I know I'm really screwed up. I do all sorts of crazy nonsense all the time. But inside me somewhere is Jesus. And inside of you somewhere is Jesus. The next picture. What artist?
Rembrandt.
Yeah, Rembrandt. This is a picture of Jesus by Rembrandt. The reason that this picture means something to the world is that Rembrandt actually worked through a number of Jewish people and like analyzed their facial features in order to create a realistic looking Jesus. He wanted to create a human Jesus, not an idealized one. And the great part about that is that's us. We are the human Jesus. We're the body of Christ in the sense that we are together, the bread on the table, it's like we're the body of Christ there. But Jesus himself, when we have him come in and we have him make a home in our hearts, we become that. And that's the mystery. That's what's so great about this. It can really be challenging to think of Paul in these terms. But when we think of him as a zealot, not just for some religious idea that happens to be Christian, but rather a champion for the redemption of humanity, it changes the way that we see Paul, especially in the book of Colossians. It changes the way that we might think about ourselves. So if you kind of pull out your Bibles here, I didn't really put a slide up for this, but that'll be okay. If you pull out your Bibles and you take a look at the annoying part of this particular text, you have that filler. Say hi to this guy and say hi to that guy. I'm going to reread this section. And you can just listen or you can read along if you'd like to. And I'm going to butcher all the names and all the places. So, you know, I'm probably wrong. Go to YouTube and look up how to actually pronounce them. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. Tychicus has Christ in him. The mystery of Christ is revealed in Tychicus. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. He also has Christ inside of him. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, who has Christ in him, as does Mark, who has Christ in him, the cousin of Barnabas, who has Christ in him. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, has Christ in him, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who has Christ in him, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, who has Christ in him, and Decimus, who has Christ in him, sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nympha, she has Christ in her, and the church in her house. After this letter has been read, see to it that you read it to the church of the Laodiceans, there we go, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell that guy, Archippus. Thank you, Gary. See, this is why I like having you around. Archippus, I already forgot how to say it. Tell Archippus, who has Christ in him, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. He is in chains because these people have Christ in them. He can afford to be in chains as long as the Spirit of Christ rests in the people of Christ. And what I just did to this text also can happen out here. Christ is in Scotty. Christ is in Kelsey. Christ is in Krista. Christ is in Dan. Christ is in Bianca. I can say the same thing. We can afford, we who carry the burden of leadership, we can afford to be in chains. Because it's our job to make sure that the people of God are carrying the image of God. That they're carrying Jesus around. And when they walk around, I can know that Jesus is out there. That's what my dad did. So, the question that I want you to think through. It's always tempting to be like the world and forget the chains of those who serve Christ. Now, it's not just leaders. It's other people that suffer as they serve Christ. But remember this. Your calling is to be like Jesus. And if you can be like Jesus, it's worth it to be an outcast like Paul. It's worth it to stir the pot. It's worth it to cause trouble. Because when you do that, all of a sudden you have a laundry list of people showing up who are also like Jesus. But it takes a real shift in the way that you see reality and really shift the way that you see the world to recognize it. And I mean, I'll just say, like, I do this terribly imperfectly, like all the time. And you probably do too. But that doesn't matter. Because Christ is popping up in each of us over and over and over again. So remember my chains.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.